Father God, we have the opportunity to get into your word. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us energy. I pray, Lord, that you would take the sleepiness away and that you would give us sharp minds and focused minds that as we listen to your word, that you will be with us. In your name, amen. Amen. Darkness. Most of the time, we're really not around darkness. We could even dim the lights here in this sanctuary, but still light would come in from the doors and the windows, yes? And maybe the most frequent time we're around darkness would be when we go to sleep. We go in, get in bed, and the lights are off. But even then, there's the light from the computer, you know, that's maybe still there, or maybe light from the hallway that comes in under the door. And most of the time, it's, you know, if we squint, we can still see. But have you ever been in the darkness that is pitch black? Have you ever been in the darkness where you can't see the hand in front of your face? Perhaps in a cave, the lights are all turned off, cell phones are in the pockets, watches are covered, and you could be right next to somebody and not even see them. Not even comprehend that they are there. Is there this type of darkness in Scripture? Yes, there is. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, we find that type of darkness. The type of darkness where you can't see the hand in front of your face. The pitch black without form or and void, the Bible calls it, type of darkness. Genesis chapter 1, those first few verses, and we all know Genesis 1:1. Let's say it together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some have suggested that that one single verse is the theological foundation for all of Scripture. How's that? Well, atheism says that there is no God, but Genesis 1:1 says that there is. Polytheism says, well, there's God everywhere in everything. But Genesis 1:1 says that God is the ruler over it all. Humanism says that, well, it all comes back to us. It all comes back to humanity. But Genesis 1:1 says that, no, it starts with God. Genesis, the beginning. In Hebrew, that's what the word means, in the beginning. And that's where the Bible starts, with God. But as we see in verse 2, God didn't have much to work with. I know God, he really doesn't need anything to work with, so to speak. But verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and what was on the face of the deep? Darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Darkness. The type of darkness where you can't see the hand in front of your face. The darkness where you can't really comprehend or understand what is in front of you. That is the darkness that was there. And so that's why verse 3 tells us, then God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. Have you ever been sitting at your desk, perhaps paying bills, which none of us enjoy doing, or maybe as a student, you're doing your homework, and what's in front of you, the natural light, just isn't sufficient. You can't really see what is there, and so what do? You turn on the lamp. And the lamp, the light from the lamp, illumines what is there. It makes you able to see it clearly. And maybe that's what God, you know, I need some light. It's dark. I need some light to work with. And so he says, let there be light. Now, does the Bible say, let there be light, and then the light bulb flickered, the electricity kind of sputtered, and finally it came on. Is that what it says? No, and there was light. God didn't have to plug in a lamp. He didn't have to call for the electrician. He didn't have to ask Motel 6 to leave the light on for him. No, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God is light. We know from reading Genesis 1 that God hadn't created the sun. He created the luminaries, the sun, moon, and stars later on. So what is this light? This is light from God himself. God is light. And so there the light begins to shine. Maybe the light was immediately there. Maybe God said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. But I like to think, just because it's a little more dramatic, that the light began to slowly come into the darkness, that it began to overtake the darkness. It began to creep into every nook and cranny of the darkness. And the darkness was soon overcome by the light. The light overcame the darkness. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And so we have in Genesis, in these very opening verses, at a very crucial moment in history, God needing light. Here he was at the beginning of the world that he had thought of, that he had wanting to create. And at this particular moment in time, God needed light. But this is not the only place in Scripture where God needs light. No, in other places, in fact, there's another crucial moment in history, a decisive moment where God said, man, I need some light. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. When we too will be spending some time here in the beginning of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the what? Beginning. Sounds familiar, yes? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Have you heard that song before? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was... Yeah? Maybe you and Corral have heard that song before. I will spare you from singing it. But here John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was what? Was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, the life was light of men, and the light shines where? In the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. John uses similar language to the Mosaic account of creation in Genesis. Almost mirroring that opening verses in Genesis, John uses similar words. The word for made here is the same word that's used there. And John even uses the exact first three words that Moses used in the beginning. And we find concepts of light and darkness very similar to that account of creation. Yes? Yes, there's some differences. The beginning here that John is talking about is different than the creation beginning. When Moses said, in the beginning God created, he was talking about a specific point in time at the beginning of planet Earth. But this beginning is prior to. The beginning that John talks about, in the beginning was the Word, that's at the beginning of eternity, which has no beginning. Jesus has always been there. And John compares creation. Because at creation, God needed to self-communicate. He needed to communicate, hey, this is what I'm about. This is what I create. I care about human beings. This is who I am. And now we have here in John, God also involved in self-communication. He needed to tell his people again, hey, this is what I am like. This is who I am like. And so now John's talking about the new creation. Moses, the first creation, and now Jesus coming to this planet, salvation, the new creation that he can offer us. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was not only with God, he had a relationship with God, but he was God. Jesus is fully divine, fully God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, what? Nothing was made that was made. John knew that everything comes through Jesus. And how often maybe we forget that everything's through Jesus. Every doctrine, every belief, every time that we preach, every scripture that we read is all through Jesus. Amen? Every breath that we take, every temptation resisted, every good and perfect thing is through Jesus. John realizes that all things are through Christ. But then he says something interesting. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. In the very beginning, God created life. He breathed life into Adam, and he gave life to the animals, etc. And those animals and plants, they needed light. The vegetables and fruits that you buy from Trader Joe's, Henry's, Vaughn's, Albertson's, those are only there because there's light. They have to have light to grow. And in the same way, we have to have Jesus, John says. Jesus is our life and light. But not only is Jesus the author of physical life, he gives us breath, but also spiritual life. I don't know about you, but there have been many times where I feel dead. My spiritual life is dry. But we can say, Jesus, will you breathe your life into my walk with you? And he can revive that just like that. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the... What is John talking about? The light of men. Why would he call John... Why would he say Jesus is the light? Well, verse 5 gives us the answer. The light shines in the darkness. Now, interestingly enough, verses 1 through 4 all use the past tense. Look at it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, etc. But now, here in verse 5, does it say, and the light shone in the darkness? What does it say? Shines. John switches from the past to the present tense. Almost as if to say, hey, Jesus is still shining. His light never goes out. Jesus always continues to shine. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. What darkness is he talking about? You know, the sun had already been created. Light, they knew what fire was. They could light a lamp with oil and carry it around. So what darkness is John talking about? Well, maybe that last phrase gives us a clue. The darkness did not what? Comprehend. The darkness did not what? Comprehend. John assigns darkness physical qualities. He gives darkness a brain, so to speak. He gives darkness something that, an action, or maybe a lack of action. Darkness didn't comprehend it. And maybe that gives us a little clue as to what this darkness is. And this word has two meanings. Two meanings. Kata lambano is the word in Greek. Kata what? Lambano. Kata lambano. And has two meanings. One is to perceive, to understand, to grasp the darkness didn't, or comprehend. But it also means to lay hold upon, to seize upon, to overcome. And John very well could have meant exactly both words. He could have said, the darkness did not comprehend it, or the reader could have said, well, the darkness did not overcome it. He intended both meanings. The darkness did not. So what darkness is this? Well, there's a book, maybe some of you have heard of it, it's called The Desire of Ages. And there's a sentence, page 22, that perhaps gives us a clue to this darkness. And this is what the sentence says. The earth was dark through misapprehension of God. Through what? Misapprehension of God. The earth was dark through misapprehension. Now, what is misapprehension? What does that word mean? Misunderstanding. To apprehend something is to grasp something, to understand something. To misapprehend is to not grasp or not understand. So misunderstand. So the earth was dark through a misunderstanding of God. The Jewish nation was in darkness. God had communicated his mercy to them over and over again, and the Israelites, decision after decision, stepped away from God. He would draw them back, but they kept on making decisions to go and get, not everybody, but the Pharisees had the wrong picture of God. In their attempts to keep God's law, they were actually breaking it. They would say, well, you can only walk, you know, 1 mile on the Sabbath. If you do any more, then you're breaking it. You can't do this. Completely the other direction that God had intended it. The Jewish nation was in a moral darkness of sin. They kept on making decisions to go against God. And not only that, but a moral darkness of ignorance. A moral darkness of what? ignorance. They had the means to know who Jesus was. They had been given the scriptures to figure out when the Messiah was coming and why he was coming and what he was going to be like. And even though Jesus was right in front of their face, they didn't get it. They didn't comprehend it. The earth was dark through a misunderstanding of God. Wouldn't it be so frustrating? Let's say you're there at your desk, you have a book, you need some light, you turn on the lamp, you obviously see that the light bulb is shining, but the words on the page aren't being illuminated. You see the light shining, but what's going on? The light is not hitting the page. I see the light there, it's shining, but it's not. The book doesn't get it. That's how God felt. He had sent Jesus, his son, into the world as a light, but the people didn't get it. It was right there, and it's almost as if, hey, I'm shining on you, but there wasn't any light. Or to illustrate it another way, imagine if I go home for Christmas, and I'm excited about seeing my family. I knock on the front door. My dad comes to the door. Hey, Dad, how's it going? So good to see you. And he says, who are you? Oh, well, what are you doing? No, Dad, it's me. It's your son, Jeff. I've been gone. I'm back home for Christmas. Sir, I don't know who you are or what you're doing here. But listen, we're trying to have Christmas dinner. Can you please not bother us? Imagine how heartbreaking, how devastated I would be. That's exactly how God felt. These people that he had talked with, these people that he had created, these people that he knew inside and out, didn't even recognize Jesus right there in front of their face. How frustrating that would be. And at this crucial moment in history, God needed some light. At this moment where people were in darkness and didn't understand God, God needed some light. They had confused God for someone he was not. And again, to illustrate, if I was, let's say, in front of an audience and they didn't know Pastor Sam at all. And so I start telling them about Pastor Sam, and, well, Pastor Sam is the meanest guy you'll ever meet. And Pastor Sam never smiles, which is obviously not true. Look at the guy, the old smile back there. And Pastor Sam is sitting there in the audience saying, no, that's not what I'm like. I promise. I can imagine God up in heaven as these people have this skewed concept of who God was, saying, no, that's not what I'm like. No, my character isn't like that. You're misrepresenting me. God needed there to be light. Allow me to read the rest of the paragraph from the sentence that I read earlier. The author writes, that the gloomy shadows may be lightened, that the world might be brought back to God, Satan's deceptive power was to be broken. This could not be done by force. The exercise of force is contrary, is what? Contrary to the principles of God's government. Only by love is love awakened. To know God is to love him. His character must be manifested in contrast to the character of Satan. And listen to this. This work only one being in all the universe could do. And who is that? Jesus. Jesus was the only one who knew the height and depth of love and love of God in such a deep way. He was the only one that God could send. No one else could represent God's character as well as Jesus. And so God says, let there be light. And there was light, and the darkness couldn't overcome the light. Yes, there are people who didn't have the light on them, but the light came. And it went into every nook and cranny of that darkness. And that's why Jesus says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Jesus says, listen, Israel, if you follow me, you'll learn about my Father. If you follow me, the darkness will go away. My friends, it's obvious today that the world is full of darkness. It's obvious today that we are living in a dark world. Now, maybe not the darkness you're thinking of. Often when you talk about a dark world, you think about the evil and the corruption and, well, everyone's just so sinful. But maybe the world is in darkness is because they don't have the right concept of who God is. Maybe the world's in darkness is because they have a skewed concept of the character of God. Maybe the world is in darkness because they just really don't truly know who God is. David Asherick tells the story of one of his friends, Ty Gibson, Seventh-day Adventist, who boards a plane and begins reading a religious book. The person sitting next to him looks down at Ty and his book and says, "Well, we may not really get along because I'm an atheist." Ty looks at him and says, "Well, I'm an atheist too." The guy kind of steps back. "Well, why are you reading this religious book?" And Ty, instead of answering that question, says, "Well, sirs, tell me about your atheism. Tell me about the God that you don't believe in." Well, this God, I couldn't believe in this God. This God arbitrarily decides who will be saved and lost. This God is concerned just about politics. This God tortures people in hell forever and ever. I couldn't believe in that God. And he goes on and on this list of this God that he can't believe in. And that's when Ty looks at this man sitting next to him and says, "No, sir, I am an atheist too, because I don't believe in the God that you don't believe in." Did you catch that? I don't believe in that same God you don't believe in. I don't believe in a God who arbitrarily decides who will be lost forever or saved. I don't believe in a God who tortures people. I don't believe in a God who doesn't care about people. That's not the God that I believe in. But there's people out there who truly think that God is uninvolved with the universe. There's people out there who truly think that God randomly picks who will be saved and who will be lost. And I can't help but wonder that not only is there darkness out there, but maybe there's darkness in here. Maybe there's darkness in here. Maybe you really don't understand God. Maybe you think your God's will for your life is exactly A, B, and C. And if God will give my children success and education, and if I go this place in life, and if God gives me that job, then I'll be happy. But maybe that's not what God wants for you. You're misunderstanding God. You need light. You need to seek God's will for your life and not your will for your life. Or maybe there's darkness in the sense that you really think that God is a harsh and extracting God. There was a period in my life where, you know, I would feel guilty over anything. The devil would pound me left and right. Feel like God didn't love me anymore. But no, God's a God of love. Or maybe you're in darkness because you think God is such a God of mercy and love, which he is. But since he loves you so much, it doesn't matter what you do. And he doesn't have any standards for me. So I can follow this way and it doesn't really matter. No. God holds us to high standards in his word. And so God says, "Let there be light." I remember a couple of years ago, I was traveling with some friends, and they were taking me up to this place that was up on a mountain, and big spires of rock had fallen down off the side of this mountain and created a system of boulders and different caves. And interestingly enough, they called this whole section of rock the Lost World. And so we went up to the Lost World, and we were jumping from rock to rock and exploring. And on a whim, they say, "Hey, Jeff, you want to go in a cave?" "Sure, sure, I'll go with you." And so there was five of us, and two people had lights. You know, we're young, we're adventurous. So we went into this cave, and these caves, even though they were made from different rocks, there was no light. It was as if you were going into the ground. And we go farther and farther and deeper, and finally my claustrophobic instinct said, "Jeff, it's time to go. Time to go." And I was, you know, getting nervous. But I had a problem. I couldn't get out. I didn't know the way. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't have the light. I was with other people, though, that did. And so I went and spoke to my friend. I'm kind of ready to go. I need to get out. So he talked to everyone else. And the one who knew the way out, the one who had the light, led me out of that cave. And that is why, my friends, that is why Jesus in Matthew 5:14 says this. That is why Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, it is ridiculous. It doesn't happen. People don't light a lamp and then say, I'm just going to put a basket over it. That just doesn't happen, Jesus says. If you imagine someone lighting a lamp and they put a basket over it and someone's watching and they say, well, what are you doing? Oh, no, I just don't want it to be too bright. No, I want the light. Person begins to put it over the, what are you doing? Well, I don't want to put my Christianity on anybody else. No, I need light. Someone putting the basket over. Well, what are you doing? Well, I don't want to come across as a Bible, you know, like beating over their heads or anything. I need light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And my friends, there are people out there. There are people in here. And maybe yourself, because I know I do. I need some light. I need Jesus. And I know this is the most cliche statement, but it's so true. In order to share the light, you have to have the light, and you need to plug into Jesus. You have to be. You have to be. In order to actually share with someone, you have to have it for yourself. And that's why it's so important to every single morning, wake up and spend some time soaking up the light so you can reflect it to others. Allow me to close with this story. There was a man, medical missionary, went to Papua New Guinea. Goes to New Guinea. There's a group of people there that need medicine. He shares the medicine with them. And he can't miss the opportunity to share Jesus. And so he begins to tell them about Jesus. And he says, well, this is the Jesus who can set you free. And began to tell them about Satan and how Satan had binded them, but Jesus was stronger than that. Tell them about the great controversy. And afterwards, everybody kind of left and went away. But there was one man, an elder, an older guy that was sitting there in the corner just shaking back and forth, back and forth. And the man went up and said, sir, what's wrong? And he said, how long have you known? How long have you known? The man says, well, known about what? How long have you known Jesus? Well, my father, he was a Christian, and I grew up, I've known about him for a pretty long time. And shaking back and forth. And he said, why didn't anybody tell us sooner? Here is my whole tribe that I have been working with, that I've grown up with, and there's so many of us that could have been saved if someone told us, but they're already dead. Why didn't someone tell us sooner? I'm going to invite Peter to come up, and instead of a closing hymn, I'm going to invite him to sing a song for us. And as he's singing this song, I invite you to just think about the darkness that maybe is in your heart, or maybe that you know of a person who needs light. Because God says, let there be light.